Simon Lama Beis, Sef Dalet, by the Mishnah Berurah. It's a Kadayan Beis. So one letter cannot touch another letter, Bechaverto. V'mo'is Godol, if the letter is large, V'nidbak B'soifai, it's touching all the way to the edge, V'oifin, in such a way, Shim Nigrar Mashadovak. So I can erase part of the letter, still be left with the letter looking properly because it was thick enough that I could remove part of it and it still looked like the letter. And I'm going to address it that way. So yesh machshirim v'yesh poslim v'haskimo akrenim l'hachmer. Now the machshirim are arguing that even though you did not remove it yet, but since it's possible to remove it, and we left with a tzuras ois that has the equivalent status of mukav kavil, based on the concept we have in Shas of kol roi labila in bila makabes bay. So the Mora has an interesting concept. And the applications of it, you have to figure out how all the applications of it. It's a Mishnah Masechtas Menachos. So the Torah says that when you bring a korban mincha, you have the flour and you have the oil, mincha service. So it's a combination of flour and oil. So more said, the Torah discusses you have to put oil, you have to pour oil in, and you also have to stir it. But a little bit, right, b'shem. The Mormon is out that Belila, it only mentions it one time. We have a rule by Kachim, and the Torah only mentions something by Kachim one time. It's not Ma'akim. So therefore, if a person would bring a mincha and put the oil in and not stir it, the mincha would be kosher. However, the Mormon says, if you bring a very, very large mincha, that it's so large it's impossible to stir, the mincha is possible. So the Mormon refers to that as kol haroi lebila. If it's possible to stir, then be'en bila makabes. Then the lack of stirring is not problematic. But if it's ain't a roi labila, then it's a problem. That's the Morris concept. The Rashbam and Boabasa explains the logic behind kol haroi labila is, which would not necessarily work over here, because he says that if the Torah is discussing there's a mitzvah that says the raisa to do belila. It's not ma'akiv on the korban. There's a mitzvah saying the Torah says you should be bebeil with it. In regards to the kashas of the korban, it's not ma'akiv. But if I want to know what type of korban the Torah was talking about, the korban the Torah was talking about was a korban where this is possible, because the Torah gave you a mitzvah to do it. So if you're discussing the item is an X. So it says if I bring it in a way you can't stir it, it's equivalent to bringing a korban out of kidneys. I'm sorry, menachos have to be out of grains. You can't use kidneys for it. It's the wrong species. So over here, bringing it in a way that the mitzvah of the Torah doesn't apply to it, it obviously wasn't what the Torah was talking about. The Torah was talking about such a situation where you could do blila. Even though in regards to the kashrus, blila is not necessary, but in regards to what it is, we know what it is. This is what the Torah was talking about. So it's not the korban the Torah was talking about. That's what Rashbam explains. It was a very nice shot. So then you have to explain, the more uses this, the more you applies it to a lot of other cases. This account of the kol haroi labila. Some of the Rashbam's explanation will not work. So the Rashba uses that explanation over here. That since you could remove the part of the ois and make it mukav kvil, even though you didn't do it, it's still kosher. That's how the Rashba applies it, which would be a very interesting explanation. The Maisa, we're machmer on it, and we don't apply that sort of. So in most of Dershow he mentions, so now we're machmer, the Losh and the Cardinals were machmer. So application of this was, if you know that your tefillin are like that, so you shouldn't, you know, you should use a different pair of tefillin. You know the Tevet Torah is like that, you shouldn't use the Tevet Torah. You take the Tevet Torah out, you're using it, in the middle of landing, you realize that it has this problem. Now it's a whole new ballgame. Right? It wasn't that you knew beforehand you shouldn't, you're being makra not to use it. You're in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah, and you realize that the ois is touching, but it's large enough you really could have scratched it away and it would be fine. So what do you do in that situation? So Mishnah Berurah actually talks about later on.
You don't ask a kid to see how he would read it?
The purpose of asking a child to tell you how to read it applies to the issue of when you want to know whether the ice looks proper or not. Oh, we know what it looks like. The problem is it's touching. It doesn't help me. If the kid can read it properly, it doesn't help. If it's touching, it's touching.
He wouldn't think it's not a nose because it's touching. He would recognize it anyway.
That's irrelevant. Whether he recognizes it or not is irrelevant. If he doesn't recognize it, we have bigger problems. I'm saying, even if he recognizes it, it's not going to help. The problem is it's touching. Right? So Mishnah Berurah says over there, if you can get somebody who could come and erase it, how to erase it, you have somebody erase it. You know, get somebody who wouldn't be gay on Shabbos, be gay, and if not, or on Shabbos when you don't have that option, so you continue reading. In other words, this Yesh LaHachmer, we're semech on the Mekilim in the situation when you're ready in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah.
The cipher that's writing the tefillin, if he realizes that he, let's say, used a little bit too much ink and the two letters are touching, he could only scrape off from the second letter, right? Because if he scrapes from the first one, it's not considered anymore.
Maybe. Okay.
Or all of the above and none of the above.
Right, five possibilities. So let's go systematic. According to the Rashba, who says that it's not that it's kosher even before you remove it, so it never was possible, so there's no problem with Kisidron. So then even if you want to fix it, quote unquote, there's no afkmin what you fix it from, because it was never possible anyway.
Let's
leave the Rashba out. So we're going to see later on, there's a halachic issue called chok teches. The halach is that the only kosher way to make a letter is by writing it. You cannot make a letter by erasing. So what do I mean? So give you a very, very extreme case, right? There's the surface writing, and he's about to write the next letter, and a big blotch of ink comes out. So he says, you know, the ink's expensive. So instead of erasing the whole thing, he says, I have a good idea. I'll leave it there, and I'll erase out the next letter. I need a dalet, and I'll erase out the part, and I'll leave over the shape of a dalet. So he didn't write the dalet. He removed everything around the dalet to leave you with a dalet. So that's possible. That's called chok teches. Mm-hmm. That's not called ksiva. Ksiva has to be you're writing the letter, not that you're removing something else and the letter remains there by action. So in that situation, if that would have happened in one of the earlier letters, so he's got a problem. The letter isn't there. So if you're gonna, you can't fix it by removing the part which isn't. So there you have your tina comes in. Tina says, I don't recognize this letter. Right? The child comes, so now it's not the letter. So the only way I can fix it is by erasing the whole thing and rewriting it. Now it's not a considerant anymore. So that's where that becomes an issue. Now the question over here is, if the problem is only Mukav Kvil, is there a problem of Choteches by Mukav Kvil? In other words, the two letters are touching.
Right.
So they really have Tzuras Ois. There's a new psul called Mukav Kvil. I'm solving Mukav Kvil by erasing something. So I'm not writing, is that called writing the letter now, with Kashrus? And therefore, it's a problem. You can't write the letter of Kashrus through Mukav Kvil, through Chok Teches. No. The letter's there. There's a new psul called Mukav Kvil, which I'm removing through erasing, which is okay. So we pass on the second way.
That we can.
You can address Mukav Kvil by erasing.
By erasing.
Right. So therefore, the considerum would not be, as long as the Tzuras Ois was still there, then there wouldn't be a problem with considerum. If the Tzuras Ois was lost because of it, then you got a big problem.
Then you have an issue.
Okay. And certainly we're mokum adavik. Vav betul mezuzah mahani tikkun kim dol nishtaner tzuras ois mikadem. You know, the case was that there was no problem with tzuras ois. There's no problem with kisidron by erasing it out. Okay, so each letter has to be mukav kvil kol ois. The last letter on the line has to be Mukav Kvil. So all the letters, we understand, they can't touch the next letter because otherwise it's not totally surrounded by parchment. The last letter on the line, it's not touching anything on the side where the cloth ends. But that doesn't help. It has to be surrounded by cloth. If you take that letter all the way to the end of the end of the cloth, okay. Right. It takes it all the way to the end of the cloth, so you end up, it wasn't surrounded by, it's not surrounded by parchment on all four sides. Certainly, as we leos mukevas gilmei abaruch hussel, likuva who are filled by the yevad, that's makev by the yevad, kilo kamam and sif tezayin. So even in the smallest letter, the part of the letter which is, if the Kurtz Shayud is Ma'akiv, we're going to see Kurtz Shayud a lot, because it's like your example of the most minute elements of kashrus. If that part is not, so my whole letter, I write my yud, so basically you should write the yud with the line going straight down. And then you do the body of the yud. Let's say I do the line just a little bit going towards left, and here's the edge of the, so that is touching the end of the parchment. That's the last letter of the yud. So the rest of the yud is mukav kavil, but that little kuzish yud is not mukav kavil. It's possible. All right. So the mukav kavil is an important halacha. We'll see later on. He's going to come back to Mukav Kavil more in the Sif Tezayin. What's fascinating about Mukav Kavil? Mukav Kavil is halacha b'shas k'siva. If b'shas k'siva was Mukav Kavil, later on something smudges. It happens. Common problem. I've had this. Frustratingly enough, in simplest Torah, people dance with the same Torah. They sweat. So sometimes it soaks through. And you have sometimes a little effect of parchment. You have the letters which smudge because of it. It's happened. I know one shul, the Makra, they take off the mantles, they put plastic bags over the Sefer Torah, put the mantle back on, and there shouldn't be any problems on the Sefer Torah because of it. I had one time, it was clearly, it didn't happen b'shas k'siva, but it happened after there was water, something got on the Sefer Torah. And it was from that, but there's some moisture got over there, and some of the letters smudge a little bit. So now it's touching the letter next to it. So b'shas k'siva is mukav kavil. So we'll see later on, the Iker P'sak is that it's still kosher. Once you wrote a mukav kavil, if it loses the mukav kavil later on, it's still kosher. We'll see if that's a machloikus, and we'll see maybe there's other. I had some other sudden team out there. We'll talk about later on when we get there. But some mukav kavil. But when it's ma'akev, it's ma'akev. Okay, ksiva tama. So this halacha is that he has to write a ksiva tama. The hanu shal yitur basin kofin basin zayin nunin zayin machlokiyetz b'zay. Each letter has to be written very clearly what it is. It's not, it shouldn't be looking like any other letter. You know, you can get away with it. You know, it looks like close enough, etc. Then he said, a person shouldn't miss even a kutz shal yud. Hainu oikitz shemel shal yud. The kutz yud is on the left, bottom left of the yud. That is the Rebbeinu Tam Shita. We'll see later on. We get the Siman Lama Vav that there's a shita which holds it's the tag on top. Not on the bottom. The Rebbeinu Tam says it's the bottom left. Obviously, if you're missing the right foot, which that's the main body of the yud. So we'll talk about that later on. We'll get to the section where it goes to all the little letters, what they look like. We have time till we get there. Okay. Now there should be mitzuyin kilchosim. The law is that you have to have tagin on top. You have to have the crowns which go on top of some of the letters. So mishabura kilchosoy, tezayin, ba'osiyosh shatnez gates. So the letters which require crowns, there's seven of them. It's the shin, the ayin, the tes, the nun, the zayin, the gimel, and the tzadi. Now, v'zel rak l'chadchila, the requirement of tagin on top of the letters is din l'chadchila. If you didn't do it, it's pretty evident kosher. Come on, Mr. Malam Vav, Sef Gimel, Ein Shom, Shemavur Shom, Kol Prate Dinei Tiyuv.
Look over. Is some partial
how it's Shlom?
So you cannot be interrupted.
There's sometimes like three crowns, one crown.
Yes, the Tagen.
Shatnez Getz is always
it's three crowns. There are other letters which get Tagen on top of them. He talks about later on. Now, what's interesting, the question is. Now, the Bir Halacha deals with, and this is I call it a common problem, but you know, if you have a surfer who's not so good at it, the Mukav Kvil has to be all the way around the letter is Mukav Kvil. So it can't. So that also means that one part of the letter, what about the letter touching itself? So if it loses her size, you have a problem. It doesn't lose her size, but it's good, you know, theoretically it's good. What about the Tagen touching each other? So I have three Tagen on top, and Tag A and Tag B touch each other when they shouldn't be touching each other. So there wasn't looking feel over there. So the Bir Halacha in Sarek, the Maskot Sarek, Shalatid Bakshum Oyz Bechaverta. So he said, let's say a Tag touches another Tag. So it depends. We're talking about the tagging of the same letter, one tag touching a different tag. So das haramal leaf so. Who the word? Come on, Magen Avraham El Yerab. So he says, if in the letter itself one is touching the other, it's a problem. If the letter itself, everything is clear. So it comes out within the letter itself is more problematic than if it's touching a tag of a different letter. So even though theoretically there is a muk of gavil because the tag are touching each other, so the Miri says that case is kosher, but he says comes on the Magen Avraham Prima Chodesh, and they say machmirim gam kain bezeh, they're machmir because it's not muk of gavil. So he says what you should do in that situation is you can erase it away and solve the problem. It's not called a problem with Kassidrin because the Tzuras Ois is there beforehand, that's not a problem. Now the next one called Ois Tima Kavis Kavil. So we're going to see later on that there are different names for parchment. So Gavil represents a certain type of parchment. We actually don't use Gavil for tefillin. So that's in Sif Zion.
It's different kinds of parchment.
We'll see that the skin comes, it's thick enough that you can actually
Split it,
you know, inside the part which is pacing the buster is more. You know, if you look at leather, there's suede leather and there's regular leather. Actually, what it is, the suede leather is the part which is facing inside, and the regular leather is the part which is facing outside. And they're, when you process them, you tan them, they come up with a different type of a feel. So, and then you can leave the whole thing together. So that we're going to discuss that around that what each one is and what's kosher for tefillin, what's kosher for mezuzah, what's kosher for zevatara. So that'll be discussed later on.
Is there anything that's kosher for everything or no?
There is, yeah. Okay, now let's just finish up over here. It's Sif Zion. I don't have to do all the Sif Zion outside. You know, hopefully we'll get there tonight. So, or tomorrow night, if not. Sorach shiitu b'yaminoi. The lachos the server has to write with his right hands. Filim hushalim b'shayalim. Even if he's ambidextrous, because of the small is psulim. If he wrote with the left hand, it's possible. Now, that's going back on the person who's a righty. Ambidextrous, Mishabur will talk about. It's possible. We'll get to that in a second. So, the person who's a righty and he wrote with the small, it's possible if you can find other ones which are written with the right. Viter Yad.
Does that mean if you can afford them? Suppose you have a certain amount set aside, you buy It turns out they're written by left hander. The same amount, you can't get anything written by right hander.
How Epsher is called Epsher? I mean, the law of the Mishabur is going to say you, if it's Epsher, you put it on without a bracha. So, are you machuyev to spend more to get the ones which are kosher? I don't know how far you would take it. I'm not sure. Let me think about it a second. Okay, Vitu Yad, small today, Habiyamin. But a person who's a lefty, so that his left hand is the hand that he writes with, that'll be the hand that he will write with. That's for him, that's the equivalent of the right hand, the correct hand. Okay.
So can a left handed person write a left handed, certainly mezuzahs? Can he write a left handed Sefer Torah? That's considered kosher?
Yeah. Yeah,
I always thought.
I mean, he doesn't really look left-handed. What's to say?
Yeah, I didn't realize. I thought only a right-handed person could actually write a Sefer Torah.
Okay.
It's probably better for easier for a left-handed.
Theoretically, yeah. Okay, let's see in Mishavur. Sheikh Tabimino Yudzai. Then there are Ksiba Bismol. Because it's not normally, people do not normally write with a small, therefore it's more so it's not called Ksiva. It's some other type of malacha other than Ksiva. Who then last says a tikkun Bismol, Binyan Ksiva the apostle, even doing part of the process. Would be problematic. I will have in the gear shabbos is near the kosher filah b'smol. But when the letters touch, the same way we said that the letter is there, just you're removing the muk of kavil, so I want to scratch it with my left hand. That's not called ksiv, that's called scratching. That's fine. The same way, if the person who's doing the process of scratching is a person who would not be acceptable to write, we don't care because he's not really writing. All he's doing is just removing. Fine. Bismol. So he said if he wrote with the left hand, it's possible if there's something else available. So who are we referring to? Bismol. That's referring back to a person who's a writing. He writes with his left hand, and not acceptable. I will mishal b'shtei yadov. But a person who's ambidextrous, there we say, who wrote with his left hand, feel kosher b'smarla is kosher. We'll say in the case where he wrote with his left hand, even though he shouldn't, but he evidence kosher because the issue here is not called. The Torah said you have to write. This is not called writing, because if a person normally writes with his right hand, the result against the left hand is not equivalent to the Torah of writing. It's more along the lines of, the Torah says that if a person who's a writing, and he writes with his left hand on Shabbos, he's potter. Because what he's doing is an action which is not, it's not derech, not derech. If he draws a picture with his left hand, he's kayis. Drawing pictures is a told of kayisim. You can draw a picture with your left hand. You know, the result of getting the picture, I mean, depending how fine you want to make the picture, but, you know, you can make a picture with your left hand. So what he's doing is more along the lines of what the Mor calls roshem than it is kosev. A person is ambidextrous, the Mor says, he be chayav with either hand.
The Mishbur doesn't agree with the Mechaber, am I understanding that right? The Mechaber says that if Yishalah b'shnei yadav, that he writes with his left hand, it's puzzle.
No. So that's what Mishbur is saying, that this phrase, Yimkosev b'smol, psulim, is going back on the first half of the sentence. Sarach litri v'minoi, even if you need to write with your right hand, whether you're Yishalah b'shnei yadav or b'yadimin. But
okay.
The tafilu, in other words, I'm talking to the righty. Write with your right hand. Okay. And then I say, even an ambidextrous person, you also write with your right hand.
Okay.
Then I go. Then I'm going back to the person who's the righty and saying, if you write with your left hand, it's possible. Because
so he's flipping back to the first.
No, it's like a two counts. I'm talking to the right. You write with your right hand. And by the way, even that's in commas, in parentheses.
Okay.
Then I'm continuing my conversation to the righty. And if you write with your left hand, it's no good.
Ah. Okay.
Because later on he's going to say the Yitzhak Yad is fine.
Not Yitzhak Yad. I'm talking about ambidextrous.
Is an ambidextrous considered Yitzhak Yad if he writes with his left?
No. Yitzhak Yad is a person who only writes with his left. For him, it's a chachila kosher. Ambidextrous, he should write with his right. Now. So what the Mechaber is saying, if you can't find anything else, you do wear them. You don't make a bracha.
It's interesting. Is he quoting any sources for this? For his understanding, I guess he is. Oh, so it says the Morgan Avram.
Yeah.
That's what he meant.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he sholik b'shtei yadav, who writes with his left hand. It's kasher b'diyah.
Well, one second. Beservish a kaisa b'yamin, b'chol malach to b'smol, or lehepech. You have a person who's shalom shagin of a person. Person is equally shalom in both hands. So that both hands have a din of yamin. What about a person which he writes with his right, but only does all of his malach with his left, or the opposite? He writes with his left and does all his malach with his right. Because of Ramadan, Shadachal Chathila shall the Kabbalah of the cipher. The Chathila should not be a cipher. Okay, but he have it ain't lesser, ayin shamatan. So, we said the issue over here is because the Torah calls it ksiva. And ksiva has to be done with the right hand, which is the correct hand for ksiva. First ambidextrous. Either hand is the right, the correct hand for ksiva for him. The Mora says another reason why you have to be the right hand. It says uksharta muksavta. The same hand that you're using for the kshira is the hand they're using for the ksiva. So, depending on how you pass on that shiloh, when you have this person who's, you know, has strength in one hand and has fine motor skills on the other hand. He writes with one and he does malach the other one. We had a machlokes how to pass in that. So now the person comes to write the tefillin. Say, okay, write tefillin. Well, he writes with his right and he has all the strength in his left. We had a machlokes which hand is does he put it on? It means which hand is the hand which is kosher? Therefore, which hand is the hand which should be writing? For him to stop. So it's going to be the same machloikas. So it's machloikas. So please do not take him with a chil. It's a cipher. So the b'di'evid ain't lesser because first of all that halacha might only apply to tefillin. Not to using it for everything else. And even by tefillin, it's a machlokes, and you know, we had different shitas. So, according to one shita, what he's doing is kosher. So you can't be the eved, you can't answer him. Now, a person who's a lefty, his left hand is habayamin. That's the right hand for him. Okay, and imkasa biyaminoi is possible. Come up with small down of a chanal. If he would write with if this fellow who does all of his work with his left hand. He's not ambidextrous. He uses his left hand, and he writes with his right hand. It would be possible. He may actually so okay if the other ones are available. Okay, kasa v'rama, new case. My story of Mitzrayim shetov v'zechav v'kumas v'swasa v'kasa boy. He learned how to write with using his mouth. Upsoloi. Then Derek Siva v'pelachuliyama. That's not called Derek Siva. And that, again, the psula over here is Derek Siva. The person writes like this. The more, you know, person, you know, he's able to write like with his hand back. Oh, you know, okay, whatever. That's not the old would not be acceptable. Because Magen Rom feels I feel him EF shalom zocher. The Magen Rom quotes this Raman. He said this is possible. Period. They say no, it's not more problematic than Yad Smol, which we said if there's nothing else available, you use it. So the guy would do with his mouth or with his toes or whatever, and I can't say most Derek Eretz, a good thing, but you know. So at least in the case of nothing else available would be kosher. Vav. Ain't circle start dates. Ki mashit al yana. So there's a locha called sirtut. Sirtut is that we make lines across on the cloth to have a guideline to write straight and write it properly. So look like this, that mezuzah needs sirtut midaraisa, halacha Moshe Mesila. Semitar needs sirtut because you're kara from it.
I'm sorry, what was the first thing I need sirtut?
Mezuzah needs sirtut, halacha Moshe Mesila. Each line, you have to have sirtut on each line. That's by mezuzah. Sefer Torah requires sirta because you recover from it. So it has to be written in a way that it's readable, which requires that the line should be straight. So you need sirta to be able to have the line straight. Tefillin does not need sirta, make your day. So it says ain sar lasartid ki imshit al yana. So the requirement of
how do they make those lines?
So the way that so we'll see how you make the lines in a second.
They're not really lines; they're like indentations.
They're indentations, yeah.
Oh, by green guy. Yeah.
Okay. So the requirement of sirtan is the top line is you have to create a line where you're starting from, and after that you just write straight without any lines. If you cannot write straight without sirtut, then you start to call the shuras. You should be start to all the shuras, and that it should look proper. Which means that's the chavkilo. It should look nice. You know, it shouldn't be going off at an angle. Well, you start it by forest. You don't use lead or do yo or whatever it is to make a line. You make the line nisha malkum atir to nisha tzavua, because then you're leaving a color there, and then you have a problem that you're writing your ksiva onto something which is colored there. So what we do is we take a blunt instrument and you take a ruler and you run it across the parchment has, and it leaves an indentation in that parchment, and that's what we use to create our lines. That's what we do sirtu. He says that some say that no, that we don't need to do every single line, but you need to do the top and the bottom and the sides. And that is the minig. So actually, the minig nowadays is we do certain all the lines. That's our minig nowadays.
And it's all done manually that way? There's no machine that can do this?
Maybe there is. I don't know. I've never heard of one. I mean, it would be fine. The machine, but...
Because that way you would have all the lines in one, done in 2 seconds instead of...
We can make a plaque that has...
That's what I'm saying. It's almost like the printing press. It's the same basic concept.
Yeah.
And when they always write... With the line, they write under the line, not on top.
You write under the line, right? Correct.
Is that a chiyuv too? To write it that way versus writing on top of the line versus underneath the line? The way they do it?
Yes. Simply because the way we write,
you have to write underneath the first line. So.
No, I mean, well, that's true. So I'm saying, but the way we write. The goal over here is the line should be straight.
Right.
All oysters, the way we write them, we write from the top going down. So having a line on the bottom wouldn't really address the problem that they all be straight on top. The goal is to have all the lines straight. And we write, we always write
so
from the
top. You count the straight, you count it from the top.
Right. So you need to write. The shit has to be on top because that's what's trying to be miyasher. That's how we write the letters.
So in other words, they don't really have to be even on the bottom.
Correct. Obviously it would look nicer if they did.
Of course. That's the beauty. The expensive fill in the cheap ones.
Yes. Okay. Okay, Shitol Yana, Shabru, Sukkot Mukhov. Tefillin does not have the halacha of mishmisina, which mezuzah has. Rak mishum the also little gimel tavis me possibly sirtu. What's this issue? The issue is the more it says the more in gittin, the more it says the fascinating. The more it says if you're quoting a pasuk, not no tefillin, not no mezuzah. You're writing a personal letter. You're quoting a pasuk. It should be done on lines. So tefillin is not worse than anything else that you have to write when you write. Psukim, you need to write them a line. But for that purpose, Alkein Kishim Sartet Shitol Yonadai. But for that, the first line is lined, is sufficient. Once the first line is straight, the next lines will naturally be straight after that. We assume the average person can do that. I'm an exception.
Yeah,
to that.
I can't do that.
The minimum sirtut line needs to be three words long, plus the spaces in between.
It's all around. Once you're writing three letters, you need sirtut. You're writing three words, you need sirtut. You're writing four words, you're sure you need sirtut. Whatever you're writing, you need sirtut for. The point of the Kiddush is, I want to write you a pasuk is Ein Shalom Amar Hashem L'Rashayim. So I write Ein Shalom, I don't have to write sirtut. If I quote the pasuk in my letter, Ein Shalom Amar Hashem L'Rashayim, the halacha says I have to require a line. That's the halacha. Nothing with filling.
If you're if you're writing a letter to someone,
correct.
But that doesn't apply to something like a printing press or a computer.
I would assume not. I mean, you assume that I would be able to make it straight. But so a lot of times, I don't know, but people, when they write a letter to somebody, they start with a quote from a pasuk from the Sedra. So the top of the paper can count as a line. If you put it all the way on the top of the paper, that counts as your line. Right? So you wrote that line straight across the top of the paper.
But let's say if you're writing a letter.
If I tell you can't do it, you have to leave a space from the top before you start writing.
But let's say you're typing a letter to somebody, but you're mixing in a pasuk in there, so you have to make sure you underline the pasuk, even though
thread it. Yeah, the part where the pasuk you should be written with line, something like.
The computer's not going to put a line there.
There's not something underlined. The point is that there has a denim series because it has to be written straight.
Still.
So it would be normally be overlining. For us, it would be underlining, right? We're calling the pasuk, right? I don't know whether it's a chiluk, whether it's a shuris or not. I don't remember the sugya well enough to answer that question. Come in, sir. Mashum dim yirtzel l'sarte kol hashitin kei lita b'yarsir b'yarsir. You want to do more, make everything else look even more straight. So to hate, and let's say feel a little shito yana, I'm birlocha. Let's say you didn't do the first one, so what's the locha on that? So the birlocha, we'll talk about that. Let's hold it here, and we'll pick up on it.